You have to be consistent. You have to accept all of those rules that are established. And then accordingly, when you give a reply, it should fall within these categories, within those rules. And you should be able to tell that under which category does this rule falls into. So all of these things are very important. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, who was the student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, says that once I felt that I have learned enough that I can stand my own class. So I studied my class. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah did not like me to study at that time because he wanted me to keep on learning from him. He had his own plan for me for the future. But of course he did not ask for advice, he just went and studied. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah asked a person to go and ask him a question. The question was, a person took his dress to a laundromat. And the owner saw that the dress was very nice. He did not give that person any receipt, as there was no tradition, customs in those days of giving the receipt for it. So he did not give him any receipt for it. So when this person, the owner of this dress, went to take it back, hoping that it would be washed by then, the owner told him that, I don't know you. I have nothing from you. After some time, the owner thought that I have committed a sin. The owner of the laundromat thought that I have committed a sin by keeping the dress of that person. Why not return it to him? Because I don't want to pay it on the Day of Judgment. So this person went, he looked for the owner, and he gave him his dress. The question comes now, does this person, the owner of the dress, does he have to pay the laundromat the fee for washing it or not? It's washed. It's clean. He gave it to wash it. But when he went to get it, that person said, we don't have anything for you. After some days, he changed his mind. And he comes and he gives it. Should you pay him for it or not? This is the question. Of course, people are puzzled in it. They all are thinking in different directions that should you say yes, he has to pay him? Simply means that although this person have done wrong to him and he have used his dress for some days and did not give it to him on time and still he has to pay for it, if you say no, that person have washed the dress for you, you gave it to him for washing it, and you're saying that you don't have to pay him for washing it just because of the delay, what's the ruling? So, different opinions were there. When it came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said, it all depends. The person went and asked Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, and Imam Abu Hanifa taught him that if he says yes, you have to pay for it, tell him it's wrong. And if he says you don't have to pay for it, tell him it's wrong again. He went and he asked him. He says, you don't pay him because he delayed it. And he did not want to pay, give it back to you. He said, it's wrong. Okay, then you have to pay. You have to pay the man. He said, it's wrong again. So tell me, what's the answer? So that man says to him, go and ask your teacher. Why did you start a class here for? Imam Abu Yusuf gets up, he goes over there. He asked him. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said to him, that I know that just one dress, a question about one dress brought you back here. Why would you start a class without getting the proper knowledge and a complete knowledge of the fiqh and of the understanding of the deen? Don't do that again. And then he said to him, it depends. If that person changed his mind before washing it, and he thought, I'll keep it for myself, and then he washed it. So the owner of the dress does not have to pay him because that person did not wash it for him. He washed it for himself. He was going to keep it and wash it for himself. And if he washed it and after that he changed his mind, so he washed it for you, you pay him for it. Subhanallah. What an understanding. Where you don't break any of the rules. You keep everything in mind. Ibn Abi Layla, as I said, was a judge at his time. A ruling went to Ibn Abi Layla. A question went where Ibn Abi Layla thought one of the two people is right, but the other person has some strong witness. So in order to reject the witness, he asked the witness, it was about a farm. He asked him, how many trees are in the farm? I don't know. So I'm rejecting your witness because you don't have a full information about it. That person went to Imam Abu Hanifa to ask him, he said, who would know the number of the trees in the farm? But I need a solid proof from the Sharia point of view to tell Ibn Abi Layla that this is not right to ask me this type of question. He said, okay, go and ask Ibn Abi Layla. Does he know how many pillars are there in his masjid? He went and asked him. In the courtroom, he's asking, judge, you asked me how many trees were in the farm that I'm witnessing for. How many trees are in the masjid where you have been praying for the last 20 years? He said, I don't know. He said, how do you expect me to know all the number of the trees in the farm? And he accepted the witness. But Ibn Abi Layla knew who sent him back. And therefore, these things were going up. And his temperature was getting higher. At another occasion, there was a woman. She was known to be insane. One day she called someone, Ibn Zaniyain, that your father and mother, both of them are in zina, wal'iyazu billah. Now, she was insane in the historians, Al-Muwaffiq rahimahullah, have narrated that it was known about her that she had a nickname. If you call her by that name, she gets very upset and she starts cursing at people. So this person went just to tease her and he called her with that name. And she got upset, on the other hand, and she called both the parents, Zani wal'ayazu billah. That person went to the court. And you know, according to Sharia, with that type of claim of zina, you will be beaten 80 lashes. This is in Quran. So he went to Ibn Abi Layla. And he told him what had happened and what she told him. So he called her. And she admitted to the mistake that she made. So he said, his court was in the masjid. Right there, he made them hit her 160 lashes. 80 for each. For father, 80 for father, 80 for mother. Someone went and informed Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah that this is what Ibn Abi Layla did and this is the ruling he issued. So he said, he made 6 mistakes in issuing that ruling. One ruling, 6 mistakes. People went and told Ibn Abi Layla that this is what Imam Abu Hanifa says, that you made 6 mistakes just in this one ruling. He got upset. He went to Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, the king. And he said to him, now you have to do one of the two things. Either I will resign or you stop him from issuing his rulings. He called him. He called Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Why would you say he made 6 mistakes in this one ruling? He said, listen, the woman was insane. People know her as Majnuna. She is insane. You don't punish insane people for the mistake they make because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they are not responsible for their doings. That's number one. Number two, the person who went and complained, she did not blame him. It was the son who went and complained. She did not blame him. She blamed his father and mother. Did the father and mother came to complain? That's number two. Number three, if father and mother did not come and he came to complain on their behalf, did he have any witnesses that he's their wakil? If he does not have the wakala on the person, how can he represent those people? In our system, any system, you cannot represent a person without having the authority from that person. Number four, he punished her in the masjid. You don't apply the hudud inside the masjid. Number five, he punished her for two things at once. The ruling of the Sharia is, if there are two punishments, you apply one when the person is not having any bruises or any marks of the first one, he's out of that situation, then you apply the second one. Number six, when he punished her, she was standing up. The ruling about women, the hudud in women is, they should be sitting down when the hudud are applied on them. Six mistakes. But Qadi ibn Abi Layla says, then I'm not going to be continuing with my judgments anymore. So Abu Ja'far al-Mansur says to Imam Abu Hanifa, you take over. He says, I won't. Then you let him do what he's doing. He said, I'm not telling him nothing. When people come and ask me the ruling of the Sharia, I have to tell them. He said, no, you are not allowed to issue no more rules. Don't give no more fatwas. That was it. So he was banned officially from giving any fatwa. It has been recorded in the history. During those days, his own son, who was also known as Hammad, his name was Hammad, his own son came to ask him a question of the Sharia. He said, no, the king has forbidden me from issuing a fatwa. I cannot issue it. Go and ask someone else. And he stopped issuing the fatwa during those days. Subhanallah, it so happened, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur had a fight with his wife. And he issues a conditional talaq to his wife. He wants to get out of the situation. And his wife took an oath. He says, you talk to me like this. She doesn't want to talk to him. Okay, I won't talk to you then. He was upset with his wife that I'm Amir, I'm the king, and you are disrespectful to me when you talk to me. Of course, you can be king of anyone else, but not there. So, she says to him, okay, then if you think I don't know how to talk, then I won't talk to you anymore. Now he got stuck on the other side. She doesn't want to talk to him anymore. If you don't talk to me, then you are divorced. And she says, if I talk to you, all of my slaves are free and all of my wealth is sadaqah. She's, after all, she's the wife of the king too. Now what to do? One of the two will be gone now. If she talks, then all of her wealth is gone. The wife of the king, imagine how much she would have. If she doesn't talk, then she will be divorced next morning. He applies the condition up to next morning. Quickly, call the fuqaha, call the muftis, call everyone. Please, get us out of the situation. No way. They told him that the only person that can answer this question is call Imam Abu Hanifa. He called him and told him that this is my situation. He said, I'm not allowed to give a fatwa. Said, okay, we will lift that ban from you. Just please get me out of this situation. Just get me out of this situation. He said, are you sure it will be lifted from me and you won't apply it on me again? He said, no, I won't apply it on you again. He said, you don't even have to ask no one. You're already out of it. What do you mean? He said, didn't you tell her if she won't talk to you till next morning, she is divorced? Yes. Didn't she tell you after that, if I talk to you now, then all of these slaves and everyone thing is free? Yes. So she talked to you already. She already talked to you. After you told her that if you won't, she won't talk to you, she is divorced, she already talked to you. So that divorce thing is gone. She won't be divorced anymore. So see how easily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the understanding to get understand these situations. And from there on, the ban was over. Ibn Abi Layla is again in a difficult situation. And again, this thing continues. A very important issue came up in the court at that time, where someone gave a wasiyah. At the time when the person was dying, he said that Imam Abu Hanifa will have certain person of my will. Imam Abu Hanifa went to the court and he had two people witnessing for him. Imam Abu Hanifa went to the court and he asked the person, and he asked for that portion to be given to him. Qadi ibn Abi Layla, of course, is upset. He says to Imam Abu Hanifa, that have you witnessed that person saying it? He said, no. Then I won't accept it. But I have two witnesses who are there. He says, no. If you haven't seen the person, and that person, if you haven't heard the person, then I'm not going to give it to you. Just two witnesses are not enough. So he says, Imam Abu Hanifa says to him, there is a blind man. Someone hit him. He said, I have another case here. A blind man, someone hit him. And he comes to the court, and he brings a person who hit him. What are you going to ask him? He has 10 witnesses saying that this is the man who hit him. Are you going to ask him if he has seen the man hitting him? Then, if he cannot see, even if he have not seen, of course, a blind man, he have not seen who hit him, there are 10 people who witness for him. So if you are going to reject that witness, then the blind people will be in trouble for the rest of the ummah. Right away, Ibn Abi Layla said, my mistake. Okay, tell me, what you want? See the understanding. Right away, he's coming up with a solution that you're making the mistake there. See where you're making the mistake. That if you issue this ruling, this simply means no blind man will ever win in your court against the Sharia. Once, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah went to assign something to his student Qadi Abu Yusuf rahimahullah. And of course, to assign him officially, he had to the court to register it. The court is, Ibn Abi Layla is the judge. They go to Ibn Abi Layla. Ibn Abi Layla now, he's putting him towards the end of the list. He calls the next person, the person that was there. He says, come. And now he knows that Abu Hanifa is sitting here. I'm going to show him what type of judgment I have. So one case goes by, Imam Abu Hanifa is quiet. He's listening. Next situation comes up. The situation is, a person says that here, this man have accused my mother of zina wal-'iyaz billah. So Qadi ibn Abi Layla turned to that man and he asked him, did you do that? Imam Abu Hanifa gets up. Why are you asking the man? As the person who's filing the complaint, that what right does he have to file it? Again, the same ruling. He did not accuse him, he accused his mother. Why the mother is not here?